Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to come into your presence to share your word. We recognize it is your word. It is not the word of a man. And so, Lord, I empty myself of what I know and all my preparation, and I lean entirely on you, that you will have fresh mercy on me, Lord, and help me to use my knowledge and preparation as you would have me, to honor you, to speak of you and not of myself, that your word will come forth in power, in clarity and in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, that it will do an internal, eternal work in our hearts, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds, Father, illuminated with revelation insight from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions, Father, controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So that we will not just be hearers, as mommy has prayed for us, but that we'll be doers of what we know and bring forth fruit that is well-pleasing in your sight in this season of ingathering in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because as the word goes forth, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to redeem the time, to be concise, to be precise. Lord, speaking as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of your word, things new and old in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you will cause yokes of weariness and fatigue and discouragement and faintness to be broken in the name of Jesus. That strength will come to our feet. You will give power to the faint so that we will increase in strength and run this race with patience. To lay hold upon all that you have set before us, nothing escaping us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I dock under the covering of my fathers, that you help me to minister as they would have if they were here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God has already gone ahead of us, brethren. And the Bible study, this powerful Bible study this morning, has already set the stage. God is saying that in the time of persecution, in the time of great abounding iniquity, there is abounding grace. And we should lay hold on that abounding grace, Lord, to be able to press on and not draw back in the name of Jesus. That as we lay hold and love not our lives unto the death and stretch out for that which God has set before us, he himself will bring to pass what he has spoken in Jesus' name. This word this afternoon is entitled, it's actually a spin-off from Stones of the Temple that pastor preached, that beautiful message. And it's called Refining Us for Glory. Refining Us for Glory. God is refining us. What you are growing through, these afflictions, these trials, is a refining process. Relax. There is glory around the corner. Amen. And God wants you to keep your eyes on the glory. Amen. So we begin in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I beg your pardon, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, in the New Living Translation. I know you may not have that upstairs. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, New Living Translation. NLT, you can put up the KJV, but that's fine. But here it says, you should know this, Timothy. This is Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Lord, have mercy on us. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. We need to be careful. They will be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. The Holy Spirit is telling us when he wrote this, it was in the last days. So you can imagine we are in the last of the last days as we speak. And he's describing a relentless spiritual onslaught. It's insidious. It's behind the scenes. It's quiet. If you don't observe it, you won't even know it's going on. Changing the hearts of men. Bible says, while men slept, wheat became tares. So it's a spiritual force in Ephesians 2. The prince of the power of the air. The spirit that is at work in the children of disobedience. So the end result is disobedience. At the thought level, at the word level, and at the action level. That's what Satan's plan is for all humanity. And God is asking us to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to be passive victims of these powerful seducing spirits. The power is in the air. There's nothing you can do about that. You cannot say, "You will not affect me in Jesus' name." You can only obey instruction that will break off the yoke of that power over your life. And God will help us do that in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us. Now, because of the Satan's plan, God has raised up a Daniel company. There's a Daniel in the land. Amen. There is a Daniel in the land. And the Daniel in the land is holding on to God in the place of intercession. Let's look at Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and to 28. Let's look at that. Let's read it together. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. Of course, we're talking here about the blood moon tetrad of 2013, 2014. Note that was signs that synergized with the feasts that were, you could not have been arranged except by God. So it's a sign. Bible says God has given us the sun and the moon for signs. Amen. And upon the earth, distress of nations. Just look around you. You can see what's going on in Myanmar. You can see what's going on all over the world. With perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring. The seas and waves that is describing people. And people, there's people, are revolting. There's rebellion against authority. And starting from the home, moving into society, into whole nations. Next verse. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. The shaking of the heavens is taking place because of Daniel company that is interceding. So, because of the shaking, there are things that are coming at us. Because the devil wanted everybody to go to sleep. But the Daniel company has refused to allow people to sleep. And through their intercession, they are shaking the heavens and the earth so that the mercy of God has been withdrawn. And men know that there is something going on. You cannot ignore that there's something going on. And the enemy has come against the church. Bible says Papa was preaching powerfully this morning. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Comes against criticism, attack, offense. People just don't like you, and they don't know why they don't like you. Just don't like you, and they want to make things difficult for you. Envy. Maligning your character is coming, and it's like it's relentless. It's like wave after wave after wave, and many times you can get weary. I'm not like, "Oh God, another one." God is saying, "Lift up your head." Let's continue to read it. Next verse. And then, so that setting is a prelude for this. And then shall they see the Son of Man, what? Coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Amen. That's where we are right now. The Son of Man will come, that is Lord Jesus, will come in his saints. A cloud. meaning witnesses, like Bible says in the Hebrews. So there will be witnesses that will carry his power and great glory. Just like Jesus said in John 14, that the works that I do, greater ones than this shall you do also. Amen. So there is a company, and God is inviting you and I to be part of that company. Amen. That's what God is saying. Next verse. And when these things begin to come to pass, when you see yourself under pressure, left and right, then do what? Look up. Don't look around. Look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So he's saying that you should be looking in the spirit while there are things going on in the physical. We cannot afford to look in the physical alone. Just like the spies, when they were asked to spy out the land, they looked at the land, but they looked beyond the land. Joshua and Caleb. Those that looked at the land were faint and couldn't go in and said, let us not go. But those that were looking up, they saw, Bible says, our God is able. Our God is able. And God is coming to us to tell us that it doesn't matter what you're going through. It's a refining process. You must see it from his perspective, not the way it appears. Amen. Because there's an appearance. Bible says we should not judge after the appearance, but we should judge with righteous judgment. Amen. All right, so we see what God is doing. That the purpose of God is what is at stake here. God, devil is not stopping you from being born again. That's why you can see some of these things in people in the church. All these signs talked about 2 Timothy chapter 1. We see the people in church. We see it disobedient to parents. Consider nothing sacred. That's why we bring entertainment into the church. And instead of, you know, so our services now are entertainment based. Is that what it's about? No. It's supposed to be kingdom. His kingdom must be the focus. Amen. It's anointing based. Everything we do is based on the anointing of God. And we want to advance the purpose of God, which is the kingdom, which is the dominion of love. We read it every day in Ephesians 4:15, but we're going to read it again. Ephesians 4 verse 15. The purpose of God for our generation. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. God, that is the purpose of God. As Christians, we grow up into God in all things. We grow up into Christ in all things. It's possible. That's why he put it there. So we can believe it and lay hold on it and live out the reality. Amen? All right, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 20 to 30. Romans 8, 28 to 30. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we know, I didn't hear you. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God is refocusing us on the purpose. Because he's going to work together for good if we stay and keep our eyes on the purpose. Amen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The purpose is not to make heaven. The purpose is to bring heaven down on earth. Is to tap into the powers of the ages to come. And create a lacuna, a space in the heavenlies, everywhere we go, that kingdom can come and angels can be ascending and descending. That is the purpose. And when that purpose is fulfilled, we destroy the works of the devil. And then we take that glorious message and manifest the kingdom for a witness to every ethnos. Deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. And then we go home. Triumphantly. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. That's the purpose. That is what Satan is fighting. But he has failed. Amen. You know, when you are on a flight, when you fly, I'm sure you, when you fly, have you experienced turbulence? When there's severe turbulence, you know, sometimes when we fly with the school, sometimes the devil tries to do all sorts of things, but he has failed. Amen. Because we pray and we're under covering. Amen. All right. But sometimes, not sometimes, every time there's turbulence, you lose your appetite. In fact, they stop serving food. Then everybody goes to sit down. Even the people that were serving you food and drink, they go and sit down. And they strap themselves in. And people begin to, hey, if they were sleeping before, they wake up. Hey, makasate, bo, 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 bo. You know those kind of tongues that have no faith behind it. Amen. Amen. Hey, all. No, the plane just drops altitude, bah, and then your tummy goes. Do you know that feeling? And then there's a shaking. That big giant 747 that looks so huge on the ground, when it's in the air at 33,000 feet, is a little toy that can be broken in half. And the thing begins to shake. The plane that was so comfortable, and then they dim the lights. And everybody cries out unto their God. God is saying that we are going from turbulence to turbulence. You must learn to eat during turbulence. You must learn to relax during turbulence. You must learn to speak to turbulence. And say, peace be still. And there will be a great calm. But the era of being defensive is over. The era of being offensive has come. And that's why that word Pastor David brought this morning is very powerful. Now is the time to separate the men from the boys. We need to cross Jordan and burn your bridges so that you can strap yourself into God. Already when you got on the plane, you are already strapped into God anyway. So, it's just, Lord, thank you. Father, I thank you because you hear me always. Pray in the spirit. Under your breath. And the peace. And that's fine. When Paul was in the storm, he had started fasting and praying before anything happened. When there was a soft south wind, was when he was praying and fasting. By the time they got into the midst of the storm, where there was no light, there was no day. They couldn't see day for 14 days. That was when he said, it's okay, it's over. The leader said, eh? In this darkness is over. Because you are mocking with somebody who knows his God. And it's time for us, brethren, to know our God. Amen? So that's what God is saying. Amen? You must ride the wave of satanic pressure. You know, when surfers are riding the wave, you know, you see a huge wave and you say, hey, the wave is too big. And back, just bend down and balance and drive in the middle of the wave. And does it time and time and time. And then you say, oh boy, you don't win. The same way, we're going to ride the waves of this life. And we skillfully, by the help of the Holy Spirit, without fear, navigate everything Satan brings against us. And come out in glory on the other side. The affliction he meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. What he wanted to use to delay, God will use it to hasten the time. That's God's plan. So we need to understand. Look at Psalm 34, verse 19 and 20. It's a scripture that is, if you're in this house, it's a scripture that is a pillar. Because we have been taught and we pray it every day. Let's say it's going to, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. What's that last word? I can't hear you. That last word again. All. Next verse. He keepeth some of his bones. That's what mommy says. All his bones, not one of them is broken. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Thank you. Message Bible. Verse 19. disciples so often get into trouble? Because they are disciples. They live by the discipline of Christ. And Satan opposes all those that will live by that discipline. Because the end of that discipline is godliness. So he opposes them. But still, God is there when? Every time. Hallelujah. The Most High. Next verse. He's your bodyguard. Tell your neighbor, God is my bodyguard. He's your bodyguard. Shooting every bone, not even a little pinky finger gets broken. Not one little pinky finger. That is what you are going to come out on the other side. No bones broken. That's God's purpose. It's not just manage. It's total victory. Total victory. Amen. That's the will of God. So don't back down from godliness. Don't back down from self-denial. Don't back down from standing up for the truth. There is pressure, but we must not back down. We must stand, having done all to stand. Don't back down from integrity. Don't back down from speaking out for God. The Bible says God will not allow our foot to be moved. He that keepeth us neither slumbers, nor does he sleep. Amen? That's the will of God for us. All right? There was a man in the Bible that backed down. 1 Samuel 23, verse 17-19. It's a lesson to us. Jonathan was a man of God. Through him, God gave Israel victory. He had revelation to know that David was going to be the king. Everything, he did everything. He protected him. But he did not follow him. Look at verse 17. It's a day of following, brethren. 1 Samuel 23, verse 17. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. Bible says he loved him. His soul was knit to him. Next verse. And they too did what? Made a covenant where? Before the Lord. You can see that these same spirits, they are at work. They made a covenant. Doesn't it say so in 2 Timothy chapter 3? Covenant breakers. We make a covenant and we break it. For reasons. We cite our reasons. This is why I'm breaking it. I know I have my family. You know. And then, you know, my convenience. And then, you know. And the two made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood. And Jonathan went to his house. And they made a covenant. And that was a split. And that he went with his father's house. And David went with the Lord. May we discern the time. It's not a time to go back to your household. It's a time to leave your father's house and your mother's house and join yourself unto the Lord and to the people that God has called you to join yourself unto. Amen? Like Ruth joined herself unto the Lord. This is the time. He did not discern the time. But we will not go back in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? That's not the problem. Now, why is this message important? Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Very quickly now. Give it to me in the Message Bible. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. And to be quick. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Just because things are difficult, it's like, oh, we know we have this. It's unspoken at the back of our mind that, you know, when God is somewhere, everything will be peaceful. Everything will be easy. There will be no pressure. There will be no opposition. It's not so. It's not so. Bible says, in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I who have overcome the world, I am with you. Amen? So what he's saying here is that when you see these things, this should be our mindset. Instead, I can't hear you. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. What a great privilege. Hallelujah. To be in the very thick of what Jesus experienced. This is the spiritual refining process. With what? Glory just round the corner. Hallelujah. There is glory round the corner. What you are seeing now looks like a straight of challenges. But round the corner, there's glory. And God is saying, God, I am with you. Just look for me. Don't look for the circumstance. That was the mistake Asa made between the 10th year and the 35th year. He had peace. And then he relaxed. No. We must recognize that we are with God. And we are working out our salvation the way Christ did. What a privilege. The way God trained Jesus is training you. The way God took Jesus through is taking you through it. Give God a clap of him. God did not say, this one cannot make it. Instead, he's guaranteeing that you and I are going to make it. And then we write ourselves off. But then don't write yourself off. Doesn't matter. A just man falls seven. It just means complete. Seven times and rises again. You rise again because you are lifting up your head to look at God. Your redemption draweth nigh. That's the will of God. Amen. All right. So we look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. That's what God is doing now. He's working it out and he's finishing it now. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Thank you. Behold, I will send my messenger and shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly. So there's a messenger, and then there are two messengers. There's the messenger that has gone for himself, and then there's the Lord himself that comes suddenly to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom he delights in, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. God said he will come. So he's going to come in you. Amen. That coming in us, then he comes for us, and then he comes with us. But the first thing must come in us. Next verse. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who may stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. That's where you got the title from. Amen. So God is refining. He's taking us through the fire to bring us out. The one third that make it through the fire, you are privileged to be a part of it. As many as are listening to this message, by aligning your will with it, you're privileged to be a part of it. Amen. Next verse. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Offer our lives in righteousness. No sin. No whiff of sin. Total holiness. Verse 4. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years. Amen. So we see this. That's what God is doing. Don't look for an easier way. There is no easier way. That way that is easier is not ending up in glory. It's broad and narrow and leads to destruction. In Psalm 73, David saw. Initially he felt, these people don't have any problem. They don't have any challenges. They speak loudly and their tongue, they lash the heavens. He said, then I went into the sanctuary. Then I understood their end. What is your end? What is their end? That person you're looking at, what is their end? Do you know their end? You don't know their end. Follow your own. And do what God has asked you and I to do. Amen? So that's the first thing. Okay, God is with us. Second thing is God wants to change our focus. Amen. Look at James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. This is something that we've all been taught this before by a pastor. Give it to me in Amplified, please. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, Whenever you're enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance. Pastor D was talking to man about endurance and steadfastness and patience. Enduring inconvenience without complaining and murmuring, and steadfastness, hanging in there, and consistency even under pressure. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects. Say no defects. Lacking in nothing. God wants to work on that soul and that flesh. Remove every defect and replace it with the glory of God, with the character of Christ in the first instance. So wherever, it's like you're pitching the ark with gold, you know, on the inside and on the outside. So pitch it on the inside with gold, the divine nature. And that's where the character, that's where that, so it's formed in that trial, is formed in that temptation. And that temptation that has come is your size. Hello? Everything is sized, is your size. God will not allow us to be given something that is above our size. When you are in GS1, what exam do you do? GS1 exam. When you are in university first year, what do you do? First year exam university. You cannot give A-level exam to somebody that is in grade 9. It's not fair. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. We're talking about his exploits, about who he is, of him, through him, and to him are all things. The God who cannot lie. He's faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it, to overcome it. God is raising an army of overcomers. Amen. But it's training. So this is training for reigning. Amen. There was a book like that many years ago by Rick Joyner. All right. So God is talking about the fact that that temptation is your size. And he wants us to continue to work on our faith. Now the key here, what is being tested is your faith. The trying of your faith. It's not you, it's your faith. Tell anybody, it's not me, it's my faith. The key here is your faith. Your faith, that faith is key, because we and God are in a covenant. So anytime you are going to respond under pressure, you must respond in faith. If you respond out of faith, you've jumped out of the curriculum. Any answer you give cannot be correct, because what's the result of faith is sin. Our response must be faith. So we respond in faith. How do you respond in faith? In repentance. You confess. You repent. So that you are sure you're not going in your own righteousness. You're going in his own righteousness. Amen? You respond in prayer and in confession of the word. You respond in obedience, in love. You respond. There is a response. But you must not respond in fear. You must respond in faith. Because what is being tried is your faith. What must you preserve is your faith. The focus is on the faith. It is not on whatever. Whatever is external can be replaced. We see it from Job. He gave him back double. Then gave him sons and daughters. Then after they are going to that level, he now said, okay, we are back to where we started before. Now enjoy. That's the God we serve. Amen. He's a great God, a mighty God. And the Bible says that we have Job as an example of suffering. It's an example. to make you understand that the kind of God you are dealing with is a faithful God. When he says faithful, he's trying to create a picture in our mind. And he's using people's lives. Job is an extreme example. And if God could restore Job back to his father, what did Job do? He prayed for his friends. If God can restore Job back, all his businesses, all his cattle, all his children, everything. May we not see that in Jesus' name. Amen. But God said, no, even if it gets this bad, I can restore it. And the Bible says Job still lived and died 140 years old. Give God a clap of him. That's the God we serve. It's an awesome God. A great God. And his greatness is unsearchable. But he requires us to be faithful. So what is God saying, brethren? Go all the way with God. In summary, that's what God is saying. Don't turn back. We see Job in Job chapter 1 verse 5. We see his error in that he saw something. You know, the key was his faith. And this is what the Bible says. It was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. He could have started with that. But by reason of time, should have done something more. But the Bible says, thus did Job continually. His faith was stagnant. I need to go back and ask God, God, what can I do about these children? God would have told him. This is what you do. Deal with them. You know, cut down those parties. This is what you do. And set them. This is what you do. And they have to do this. And then their party can be a reward for whatever obedience that they have done. That God would have just set him on. But Bible says, Job just kept... Are you praying prayers that you're just praying like that? Are you doing things that you're just doing like that on route? There is no relationship behind it. There is no talking to God about it behind it. It's just automatic. You pray so you can mark all the prayers that you have prayed. I see all my prayers. I fasted today, fasted yesterday, fasted. Man, praise God. Fasted 4 times this week. I'm strong. It's relationship, brethren. It's relationship. It's not marking. So we see that's an example. Because sometimes we don't go back. We just stay where we are supposed to. We stay. We are stagnant. We're not going forward. But we do that for a long time. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. We see also in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he's looking at other examples, look at Acts 21. Verse 10, we see Apostle Paul. We're talking about going all the way to the purpose of God. Acts 21, verse 10 and 11. As we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Next verse, quickly. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews that at Jerusalem bind the man that owned this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And the brethren started. Verse 13. And when we had these things, both we, verse 12. And when we had these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Now, this is what God is teaching us. But he was talking about good soldier. Next verse. The purpose is what good soldiers are focused on. What the instruction we were given. The mandate we were given. Next verse. And Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Next verse. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease, saying, the will of the Lord be done. That's good soldier. The will of the Lord be done. That's where his faith spoke up and he carried others along. They responded in emotion initially, but he brought them back to faith and they agreed with him. And he went in the strength of that agreement. Amen. Amen. So it's the will of God, brethren. The will of God doesn't have to pay you every time, but God is with you in that situation. I don't know what Satan has done or what he's trying to do, you know, coming against us in several ways, against your health, you know, against your finances, delays here, delays there, attack, relationships, the home, whatever. God is inside there. And God is telling you, glory is round the corner. Keep your faith and stay with purpose. And God, he's going to bring us out. And then Lord Jesus is the example, the highest example. When he was told that Lazarus was sick, he could have responded by emotion. But he spoke to God about it. And God said, wait here 2 extra days. And he waited and prayed. We know the story. And he stayed back to pray, even with the glory. At this time, he had manifested the glory. But no, the glory does not mean that you just go and heal and do everything. You talk to God. You are working as an extension of God. You don't have a life of your own. I don't have a life of my own. So it's what he says we should do that we do. Where he says we should go, that he goes. Bible says he wanted to go into a place, but the Spirit will not let him. So he did not go there. We have to flow with God. So it's very important. We see Lord Jesus here not responding to emotion. And in verse 26, he says something that is really key. And I believe God wants us to see. Verse 26, John 11. John 11. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? This is the crux question, brethren. God is asking, do you believe this? If you are alive and whatever situation you are in, and you are believing God, actively believing, Bible says that you will not die. That die is generic. It's both physical death, it's spiritual death, it's loss. The Bible says that you will not die. You hold on to that word. Hold on to that promise. And stand with God. The Lord Jesus did that. He stayed and stood with God. And when he got, verse 43, we know the story. He called Lazarus forth. And Bible says there was great glory that went to God. Alright? But that glory was by instruction. In fact, people had already said, no, you made a mistake. Oh, you made it. Sometimes people can be telling you made a mistake when you are going the correct way. They can be discouraging and telling you that you made a mistake and you are going the way God asked you to go. You don't listen to them. You need to stay with oversight and look at what God has asked you to do. Amen? And then, of course, the third reason is that when we walk with God consistently, like Pastor has taught us, Bible says that God will make his abode with us and he will manifest himself to us so that it's no longer you doing it. It is now God doing it. Bible says that, the words that I speak, they are not my words. So Jesus is the one keeping the commandment of speaking the word of God, but the Father is the one doing the works. So you see Jesus, it looks like Jesus the one doing it, but it's the Father doing it through him. So it's that intimacy in fellowship, produces, makes us as an extension of the Godhead. Amen. Amen. Become an extension of God. And then at the end of it comes the reward. Hallelujah. And the reward, we have these rewards that are laid out in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, the 7 churches. At the end of it, I just want to show you one as a type. But there are 7 of them, which typify not rewards in heaven, rewards here on earth that we can enjoy. Amen. The reward of the overcomer. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 as an example. I just want to see that issue of fellowship. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. God is saying, open the door of your heart in faith. Next verse. To him that overcometh. So your faith must overcome something. Will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. The person who gives the reward is God. The person who does, whose faith is overcoming, is you and I. But it's God and sons working together. He's working through our faith to strengthen our faith and help us overcome. Then he comes back to reward you for what he helped you to do. Give God a clap of it. Hallelujah. Amen. What a great God. Amen. All right. So we see this. So and as we grow, we know the manifest presence of God increases. And then suddenly we inherit the glory. And with the glory, then you become unshakable. Just rock solid. That's what the Bible, Matthew 7, was talking about, where it says that he that doeth, you know, but that the wind will come. The wind will come. Except the house will stand. Your house can stand at this level that you are. And then you grow and promote us to a new level. And then you make sure your house is standing at that higher level. And then you grow up to another level until you get to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the will of God for us. Amen. All right. So it's beautiful. It's a reward. You can see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the example of Lazarus. You can see also in the Old Testament, Elisha with the double portion anointing. When the Syrians came against them, because he is wrong. No, the Syrians came against them and no, they came early. But the man of God was already up. He had already woken up before they came. So by the time they came, the Bible says, sufficient for today is the evil thereof. He had overcome the evil for that day. By the time they were coming, they were late. We must learn to go into the spirit realm and rearrange what Satan thinks he's arranging. Amen. And rearrange it. Jesus had arranged that day what was going to happen before they said that Lazarus was sick. He had been arranging weeks and days and weeks and months and years. In the days of his flesh, he had those things, they had always been doing that. Overcome the evil for each day. So he was able to hear God precisely. So this is what you're supposed to do. And that's what he did. And what he did. And then he turned it around. So it's as if the devil is not there. He now becomes a tool that you just use to bring glory to God. They will see his work, then you remove him, then they give glory to God. Then you go to another place, they see his work, you remove him, then they give glory to God. And so you just go from glory to God. And the Bible says, the glory, say, my glory shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's the will of God. How do we do this? It's by the mercies of God, brethren. It's by God's mercy. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. It's very important. Give me verse 2. Okay, let's leave it in verse 1. So I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's a sacrifice part. That's what Jonathan didn't want. But no sacrifice, there's no glory. You can speak it, but you won't have it. A testament is only of force after men are dead. Jesus is the guarantor, so he's operating with him. But for you to enjoy at every level of the testament, you must die. You must die. As Jordan, the pastor, was talking about. You die, and at that level, then you enjoy. The testament will not work. Amen. So he's saying, but you can do it how? By the mercies of God. Not singular, plural mercies. Making our bodies holy. Acceptable, which is our reasonable service. Next verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All the way. We can go all the way by the mercies of God. Amen. How do we do it? We use God's mercy to be faithful in prayer. Number one, we pray for more of the fear of God and humility. Pastor shared this with me this morning. Very clear, precise. Pray more. Pray for more of the fear of God and for more humility. That is what brings the mercy of God and the grace of God. So the mercy is operating from the outside. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. So whatever weakness, and Pastor was talking about, when you're feeling weak and you're feeling tired, it's mercy that carries us at that time. And brings you to a place where you can open your mouth and begin to pray. And grace kicks in. And so mercy on the outside, grace on the inside, and you overcome. Amen. But you use faith to receive mercy. You use faith to receive grace. So our faith must not be dormant. Our faith is active. Must be active. Must use your faith. Faith speaks. Faith sees. Then it speaks. Amen. Then it thinks. Then it does. Then it gives thanks. Amen. I'll say it again. Faith sees. So you see. When we are praying, we must see. For example, but even our weekly Rhema yesterday, daily Rhema, a beautiful one, was talking about the fact that we can see the presence of the Holy Spirit around us. You know, you can see it. You can see the Lord Jesus. Pastor gave us a scripture for each person of the Godhead to create a picture in our mind so that no matter what you're going through, you can see the invisible. Because that's where it begins. Then you can speak and say, I choose to fear God. So I humble myself. Amen? All right? So, and that's where it begins. That fear of God and humility. Because it is that leads us into the revelation. You know, and knowledge. But that is key. We still need to do other prayers. But that fear of God brings mercy and grace. And brings fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom is the principal thing that directs your way under pressure. Like Elisha, wisdom told him, just make them blind. And he didn't fight them. He didn't kill them. He took them to the middle of the city. Then he opened their eyes. And they saw that they were dead men. And the king was ready to smite them. He said, people that you catch with your own hand, you caught this one by the operation of God. You cannot, when God is moving on your behalf, you have to be listening every second. You can't start with God and then finish off on your own. You start with God and you walk with God all the way. So he said, no, feed them. But when your enemy is hungry, he fulfilled that scripture even before it was written. By instruction, feed your enemy. And they sent them away. Bible says they did not come again. He got the desired effect without raising one weapon. That is God in operation. That's where we're going. Because we want to save all men, you see. Even the soldiers want to save them. Paul saved the jailer. Want to separate the jailer from the devil. Want to save as many people. We're not here to destroy. We're not praying against enemies. Our enemies are spiritual. And they are the ones we need to overcome. Amen. All right. So the next one, we pray for the fruit of the Spirit. These are things we do every day. Our four prayers. Pray for the fruit of the Spirit. You know, we love God more with all of our hearts, wills, minds, emotions, and strength. You know, we love our brethren as Christ loves them. No, pray for the fruit. We pray this at least four times a day. And we pray our Pauline prayers. Again, that's prayer number two. Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We're already doing these things. If we're not doing them consistently, we should be doing them now. And make sure, because this is, you're building up your faith. Because no, Satan does not say, I'm coming on a certain day, a certain time. He just comes. So we must be ready. Be prepared. God will help us be prepared in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we pray in the Spirit daily. You do it easily by joining Good Morning Jesus at 5 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Amen. And in that prayer, you know, we pray under apostolic and prophetic leadership, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the Spirit for 1 hour. Pray in the Spirit. No, we make declarations, we make confessions, covering every area of life, of your children, of your children's children. It's settled. Wake up at 5 o'clock and be there. And don't, no, grow. You may feel sleepy at the beginning, but after a while, tell yourself, I'm going to stand up. And stand up. And once you've stood up for one day, you will never sit down again. Even if you sit down, you will not sleep. Because sometimes you have to go the extra mile. And you exert yourself. And key in your faith. Mommy's been talking to us about that. Key in your faith. Don't just pray. Key in your faith. See it. See it. See it. And call it forth. See it. And call it forth. And then you give thanks for it. That's faith. That's endurance. It's building endurance. It's building steadfastness and patience. Amen. And then we now daily Bible reading. We listen to anointed prophetic and apostolic teaching weekly. And then we practice God's word. And when we do that, we begin to grow. And that's how Joseph, that's how David grew. He overcame the lion. He overcame the bear, a type of the carnal mind and the flesh. And then he was able to overcome Goliath. You can't overcome the enemy on the outside if you have his goods on the inside. The degree, that's why your faith is the key. The degree to which you overcome his goods on the inside, you pull down the strongholds, you cast down the imaginations, you crucify the flesh, you make yourself a living sacrifice. It is to that degree that you can say, be gone, and it will go away. That's why the Bible says, Paul prayed. He prayed 3 times. Pastor Dave quoted that this morning. He prayed. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Humble yourself more. And so, brethren, this is it. Frequent and consistent practice. Wholeheartedly is what God is asking for now. So that he can take us from where we are and take us into the glory in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God in our hearts. And repent. Is there any way you're holding back? God has your back. He's your bodyguard. He's your safety net. That mercy is right there. You need to pray and ask for more of the fear of the Lord. When nobody is there, what are you doing? Make sure it's counting to your victory. These enemies that you are seeing, they are meant to lift us up to the next level. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine.
Take all our guilt away. Oh, let us from this day be holy.
May thy rich grace impart.
Father, I thank you for your word that has come to show me that in this season, in this time of perilous times, your light on the inside is shining brighter and brighter as the new day dawns. So Heavenly Father, I understand that you are refining me, and I cooperate with you in faith to align my will with your will, that your will, my meat, will be to do your will and to finish your work, so that your will be established and enthroned in my will. And so you, by the sufficiency of your grace, will give me power to take me over every challenge and every situation. So we keep all our bones, and not one is broken. Thank you, Father, because you are perfecting our souls and our flesh, removing every defect in our character, replacing our imperfections with your perfect character. Help me, Lord. I receive mercy to be faithful, mercy not to faint. Give strength to my fainting heart, so that I will run and I will not be weary. I will walk and I will not faint. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rasekatum nika na babadi rote kade jepreke kokuwa mama maya robo kosen somse jepreke kokuwa robo baba 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 se robo baba kugalebebe di kaka na mai bangke kokoswata tato sange rebabas robo kade kado bade di tuwa hande bakotuwa baye bakuai hando bade do roseta. Bali, reba ba 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 ba, koba ye ba katamasa, ye ba 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 ba, koko leve bedika, kako ba ye jumasai, mengada, ringo ba yo ba kata toba ye ba saka, makote ba, raba kata, bande, robo ba, robo ba ba, koko leve bedika, koko leve bada, mamba koto sela, robo, rebe, robo kate babado, jembre kedo, bangre kede demaina, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're sick in your body, on the covering of our fathers, just want to, there's power in the air.
And as the word has gone forth, just receive it. The Bible says that we keep all our bones, not one is broken. Send that healing word. Life from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, to flush out every infirmity and to establish divine healing and divine health. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for that wonderful word speaking to us expressly. Thank you, O Lord God, for another building block preparing your body, your army of the end time for your coming. We say thank you for the privilege of being under the covering of our fathers and being privileged to hear these things that you're speaking to us expressly. We're grateful, Lord. We honor and bless you. We thank you for everything you wrought in our midst and our hearts today. To you be all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name. And so under the covering of fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, so the Lord bless and keep us all. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us. And the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord our God gives us peace. God makes his head and our tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in Jesus' name. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. Yes, the Lord satisfies us with long life. And he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure, in the name of Jesus. And so the Lord anoints us under the covering of our fathers with the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, and Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name. And share the grace. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. We say to